All right, welcome back. Good stuff from Chris Landry. Now we go to Las Vegas. And before he gets on a big old airplane and heads to Los Angeles, we bring in our Vegas oddsmaker and handicapper extraordinaire, Mr. Todd Furman. Good afternoon, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm just happy I'm not a part of the Bucks locker room after hearing that interview about Mercer earlier today that you guys had on the WDAA.
How about that? Yeah, it's not good, and Knicks has it again, so I'm not looking at him coming back anytime soon. So, really, we have a lot of situations. I know you asked me about the Bucks and the Eagles here, and so there's just too many questions to even think about going up and looking at a wager as far as the Philly and Tampa is concerned. Rookie quarterback and all the things coming out on this other injury front and sickness front is just too much. I wonder what they have to do and warn the other team when they come into town. But they can probably stay in a clean hotel and not have to worry about it, though. Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to be one of those issues that you figure in this day and age, a football franchise shouldn't have to worry about. Maybe at some of the secondary levels or across some of the college campuses, but obviously not an ideal scenario. And you talked about a game that's pretty tough to try and handicap. Philly opened close to a pick 'em, numbers being bet up to about 2.5, and that's largely the public. Really don't see an appetite from the professional side until you get to Philly as a 3-point favorite. You talk about Mike Glennon having another week to learn the system, maybe have a little more flexibility calling plays out there. Philly with a question mark of their own at quarterback. Nick Foles, the first time he's going to run the offense. Chip Kelly's offense, I should say, at full speed.
All right, before we get into the football, and there are plenty of good ones, real quick on the baseball. Our Rays didn't make it, and I know both of us had to throw our tickets on the floor as far as that one was concerned. Boston got rid of them, us in four. Detroit had to go to the distance. The Dodgers really didn't, and St. Louis had to go to the distance. Let's go to the National League first real quick. What do you see, L.A. Dodgers, St. Louis?
The Dodgers about $1.35, $1.40 favorite, depending on where you look. And I know a lot of people have said it sets up great for the Dodgers, getting Zach Greinke game one, Clayton Kershaw in game two. I'll play devil's advocate and say this is the rare occurrence where the road team has a lot more pressure on them than the home team, because if you go home tied at one apiece, guess who's waiting in the wings for the Cardinals? It's none other than Adam Wainwright. I like the youth of St. Louis and what Joe Kelly and Michael Walker are going to bring to the table. I think if the Cardinals get a split, they have to be ecstatic and really believe this game, this series, given that St. Louis has home field advantage, should be closer to a pick. I like St. Louis to at least get a split, and I think they will win this series.
You know, the one thing that I looked at in the Dodgers situation, though, Todd, is that their pitchers can really hit. I mean, you got nine guys in the lineup that can hit, you know? How much does that factor in a little bit?
It definitely is a much different animal to try and face. And when you talk about some of the guys that are just a guaranteed out in that nine-hole, Clayton Kershaw's athleticism going all the way back to his Highland Park High School days down there in Dallas, where he was on the offensive line for Matt Stafford, speaks volumes about what he's capable of. And you look at Zach Greinke, also not a guaranteed out. Joe Kelly, though, he is a heck of an athlete. You're going to see him on display tonight. One of the few pitchers that if he hits the ball, a chopper to third, he may have a chance to leg out an infield single.
All right, let's go to the American League. We know what Boston can do. We've seen that act before many times. I mean, their pitching was okay. I mean, we had a lot of chances. The Rays did. They just couldn't get it done. They basically handed two games to the Boston Red Sox. Detroit looked like they finally broke out of their "we don't score no runs in the playoffs" and moved into the next round. And Cabrera smoked one yesterday. So you got Detroit at Boston with some really good pitching matchups, I would assume.
You look at Boston here, right around $1.40 favorite. John Lester, $1.30, $1.35 for game one tomorrow against Annabelle Sanchez. This Boston team right now is hitting the cover off the ball. I love what they have as far as athletes are concerned in the outfield, as you guys saw firsthand, and I did all year as a Yankee fan myself. I just think Boston right now is probably the best team going. Detroit does have those power arms, but with Miguel Cabrera still not 100% despite hitting that big home run in Game 5 against Oakland, I have a real hard time picking Detroit. I think their defensive shortcomings will get tested here, and I think we're talking about a Boston-St. Louis World Series reminiscent of, 2005, if memory serves me correct.
All right, let's move into the college. I mean, there's a lot of good college football games. We could go through the whole card and make cases for teams. That's what I love about when we get into the middle part of the seasons as far as college is concerned. Let's start out with local. Florida is going to LSU. I'm not impressed with Florida's offense. I am very impressed with Florida's defense. But I'm wondering if Mettenberg and crew can get anything done against the Florida secondary. LSU opened up 7. It's kind of like stayed there the whole time this week. I don't know if there's been any little teeny movements, but LSU laying a touchdown at Baton Rouge to the Gators.
There was a little bit of movement yesterday. Number came down to 6.5. Immediately it went right back to 7. This number at 7 is going to be real tough to hold as well, because the public sees LSU. They see Zach Mettenberger and the high-powered offense that scored 35 points or more in every game so far this year. They just don't think Florida will be able to match up. But when you look at these two teams, it's really strength on strength, that LSU offense against Florida's defense. I think the game will be decided on the other side of the ball when Tyler Murphy goes up against an LSU defense that's given up 200 or nearly 200 yards in every SEC game so far this year, a far cry from what we saw last year. I think Florida's goal is going to be to shorten this game up, use their defense, maybe get a short field or two here. I got a feeling this is going to come down to the final bell, and the total at 48 because it'll be played much more to Florida's tempo than LSU. Keep in mind the Tigers 6-0 to the over this year, Florida 1-4 to the under.
So if you're a Gator fan and you want to wait, you see public coming in on more on LSU to maybe tick it up past.
I do. I think if you're waiting, and depending on what books you're using, you may want to hold off closer to kickoff since this will be the marquee game on CBS in the middle of the day on Saturday. There's a very good chance you'll get a 7.5 to try and back Florida over that key number of a touchdown.
There you go. A team that's been murdering point spreads, Todd. Baylor has opened at 20, has been bet down to 17, which surprises us a little bit. But Baylor have had all of their covers this year, and they've covered some big numbers. But they've done it at home, and really their strongest competition has been West Virginia, and we've seen what West Virginia has done this year. They now have to take this crew on the road for the first time, and they have to go to K-State, where Bill Snyder has been known to slay dragons at home. Once he came back, they're off a bye week, and the number has slipped down. I got to believe that come Saturday, if you like K-State, and I do, to at least cover the number, that the public will come back big again on Baylor, because they've been putting cash in their pockets. And K-State at home can shorten games. You just talked about it with Florida. I do believe that K-State can shorten this game and maybe keep it within 3 touchdowns.
Well, some of the books out here are starting to describe Baylor as Oregon light. It's impossible to get some of the public to bet against them. And hard to argue with what the public's seen, 70-plus points in every single Baylor game from just their offense alone so far. Credit to Art Briles and his offensive system. If you look at K-State, they have major revenge from last year when Baylor derailed their national championship aspirations. So that'll be on the mind of Coach Snyder and a lot of his returning starters. You look at Kansas State, though, not a ton of offensive firepower. I think, like you said, they're going to need to try and shorten the game, value possessions, and keep that high-powered Baylor offense on the sidelines at all costs. I'm not sure I have the stomach to back K-State here and step in front of this Baylor juggernaut just yet. But if you do like K-State, I really believe under 74 has to warrant a long look. Baylor defensively has actually been one of the most untold stories this year. They rank in the top 15, and I know Buffalo, Louisiana, Monroe, not Murderers Row, but a far cry from what we've seen in the past from Baylor, who has a very good linebacking corps, which may be able to slow down Kansas State on the ground.
All right, he is Todd Furman from TonBest.com, DonBestAdvantage.com, Todd'sTake.com. You can hear all kinds of great podcasts on Todd'sTake.com, especially the one with all of the writers around the Southeastern Conference, and they go all around college football. It's the best podcast there is for figuring out the weekend. And always Don Best Advantage. If you're not using that, I tweet it out like 10 times a week that if you're not using the information on that website, you're just leaving money on the table is what you're doing. All right, we'll come right back with more of Todd Furman live from Las Vegas here on Sports Radio 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM.